I ambushed your ambush with an even bigger ambush.
How about you step out and face us?
Oh, I am everywhere, Rick. Some more bullhorns, more
walkies. Pick a direction to run. See how you do. Make it fun for all of us.
That's what us have been.
I brought you some of your old friends.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 105, and we have Cash with us again.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Cash.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back.
I'm happy to be back. I had such fun last time.
Yeah. I know.
I couldn't stay away. It's the finale episode.
Whatever. We had to convince you. Come on now.
Wasn't hard.
And this was the best episode for you to come back on.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Because I have a lot to talk about.
Do you now, Kim? Do you?
What are you drinking, Scott?
All right. I am drinking another one from, I think, my favorite brewery, No Da Brewery, here in Charlotte. It's called True Grit. It's Southeastern India Pale Ale. It's a pale ale made with grits.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, huh?
No, it is not.
Yeah, huh?
Seriously?
Yep. Yeah.
How do they do that?
I don't know. I wasn't there when they made it. It says the spirit's got grit, true grit. The Southeastern style IPA replaces the heavy mouthfeel of adjunct grains found in the Northeastern IPAs with the staple from the South, grits.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is it?
It's great. I mean, it really is. It's very smooth. I really like it. It's definitely an IPA. Definitely doesn't, you know, it didn't lose anything by going the grits route. It's still definitely got that nice tangy IPA taste to it, but it really is a very smooth, even, balanced beer. I really like it
a lot. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. That's interesting.
You know, I bet there are a lot of people out there who don't know what a grit is.
Well, and there's a lot of people moving to the South that don't know what a grit is either. And grits, I have a feeling they've lost a lot of following, obviously.
Who
wants to explain it?
Don't look at me, because I still don't even know what a grit is.
It's cornmeal.
Yeah. Grit is a part of corn, and it's the little nibs, and you put it... What?
That's a technical term, of course.
Well, it is a nib.
Yeah.
And you put hot water over it, and it expands a little bit, and it's super yummy. And a lot of people put butter in it, or salt, or some people even put sugar.
And cheese. Cinnamon.
You always put cheese in grits.
No, I don't. I like butter.
My specialty is garlic butter cheese.
Garlic butter cheese.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like I'll boil the water with butter in it.
Yeah.
And then when after I put the grits in, I'll sprinkle garlic powder over it with shredded cheddar.
Well, see, you're from New York. Did you know what grits were before
I grew
you came
up eating
down here?
Grits.
Oh, you did?
My family's from the South.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
South Carolina, so.
Really?
Okay.
And Georgia, I believe.
Cash, that sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With,
Throw a little bacon in there
and
it'll be perfect.
Chopped up sausage. Bacon, chopped up sausage, like pork sausage from the roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fry it till it gets crisp on the outside. Chop it up and throw that in the grits.
Yeah.
Oh, my kids love that.
I had never had shrimp and grits until we moved to Georgia.
Yeah, me either.
I love that. It's my favorite now. Yeah.
I don't like shrimp and grits. I'm always hungry, like an hour after I eat it.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's not satisfying. Like I'm always hungry later. It's a snack.
Do you guys want to do this podcast later and we can go make some food?
Yeah.
Sounds like we might need to. Cash, what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I'm drinking something we found in the local supermarket. It's by Heavy Seas. It's called Loose Cannon.
Hmm.
It's a hop. It's got a 3 next to it, so I'm going to call it a
hop cubed.
Hop cubed IPA.
Oh, my.
You know, it's got the hops on the cover bursting out of a skull with a patch over its right eye.
I gotta ask, what is the alcohol content on that bad boy?
Oh man, I don't even know if it says so. No, it does. 7.25.
That's a pretty pop. That's a popping one.
It's from Clipper City Brewing Company. in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's the Heavy Seas brand, Loose Cannon.
What do you think?
It's nice. I like it. I mean, don't ask me to describe it. I just read the description because I'm no good at it, but I like the taste.
Right, you drink it.
Yeah. I would buy some more of this.
Good.
What do you got,
good.
Cam?
Okay. I have Indecent India Pale Ale by Dirty Bull Brewing Company. It's a Southern Cross Hops. I'm assuming this is out of Durham. Is that right? Yeah. Out of Durham, North Carolina.
It's the one I gave you. Right.
It's really good.
It's delicious, like, isn't it?
It has a bit of a sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very smooth.
Different. And it's a 6.8.
Mm-hmm. It's got a little pop. But that's what I really like that beer a lot when I had it. I'm glad you're enjoying
it. It's good. Yeah.
And I have the Aberial Beer Company out of Asheville, North Carolina. And this is the Ceremonial Session IPA, which is actually very good. It's a light IPA. It's very good.
Stu and I are going to be taking a trip up to Asheville to look around, and I think we'll hit Burial while we're up there. How about
We'll be doing some investigating, for sure.
Yes, I think so.
Better bring some back. All right, let's get into it. It is the season finale of The Walking Dead, Season 8, Episode 16, Wrath.
Yes.
What'd you think, Cash? You go first.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a good episode. I like the pacing of the episode. I like that we had enough time at the end for some resolution to see what the fallout was. I wasn't bummed at the battle because previous episodes had enough gunshot fire in it, you know?
Very true.
So I was satisfied with those battles, and it felt like this episode, it perfectly bookended the season. Again, just the whole pacing of it. The resolution we got, and you know, not a whole lot of death as far as main characters were concerned.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, right.
That's unusual for a finale.
Yeah, you know, no cliffhanger.
Yeah,
or small cliffhanger depending on your point
that's
of view.
True.
But just a well rounded episode, I thought.
Cool. I really like this episode a lot. I also like that it did not have a cliffhanger, which is something unusual. And you know what? It's really weird is I also liked the fact that there wasn't a huge battle in there. I love the way that Eugene kind of wrapped things up for us all nice and tidy. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited as a comic book reader for what could possibly be happening in season 9. And I will not say anything, but I'm really excited about the future. And there were only a couple of parts where I was a little PO'd at the outcome. But, but I think overall it was really good. What about you? Yeah,
well, I think we have plenty to talk about in this one, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a great episode, and it's actually going to be hard for me to talk about this one without talking about going into the Fear of the Walking Dead, just because how it all bled into there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were parts in this one, well, towards the end when I thought it should have just ended instead of them going back to Hilltop and dealing with, like, the Maggie stuff at the end, which was just kind of opened up more questions, but... Anyways, there's more stuff that we can talk about going forward. But the stuff with Negan and the Saviors, all the guns blowing up and stuff. Yeah, it was crazy. It was an awesome episode. Great. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Scott?
I mean, I don't know what you guys were watching. That was not what I saw.
Seriously?
Oh my God!
All right, what'd you see?
You always have to be.
Oh my God! I was so disappointed in this episode. I mean,
wow!
Oh my God! It was not the all out war game changer I was looking for here. I mean, where was the grand scale of the battle and so forth? It turned out being Rick's little group against a bunch of guys on a line up on the top of the hill. I mean, that was it. Where was the death and destruction and score settling we were expecting? I mean, everybody was happy and loving everybody at the end of the show. I mean, I did not find it a satisfying conclusion at all. I was looking for Avengers Infinity War. I wanted some Avengers Infinity War. This was not Avengers Infinity War.
No.
This was...
Then again, nothing will be except it.
Oh, my God. Exactly. But, I mean, it was just a sad whimper of an ending to me. I mean, there was... I think the best part of it was Maggie at the end, in all honesty. Mm. I mean...
Her reaction.
Wow.
Well,
or
yeah.
Are you talking about when she's in her office and she's getting all
the intrigue that's coming from that. That is the most interesting thing I found in the whole episode.
Well, I think there was a heck of a lot of loose ends that are unanswered questions that I think are, you know, there's no huge cliffhanger, but I mean,
I was,
here they are.
I was pleased
like
that there was
saviors.
No cliffhanger, but I was also pleased that it was, or
I'm
displeased
that
it was not the conclusion.
But they're accepting all of this whole new group of people, and everybody's going home. It's like, what does that even mean?
Right.
Now,
right.
I can understand where it's like, well, what does that mean? You know, it's like, what the hell just happened? Because it did kind of split up pretty quickly at the end, but, disappointing.
Yeah, man. I mean, I felt like the whole season went out with a whimper. I was expecting this huge, big-scale battle. And so forth.
How would they do that in an hour?
They were 25 minutes into the show and they were still just talking about stuff. You know, I was like...
Yeah, but they've been battling all season.
Oh,
like,
God.
The whole season
little
is all
skirmishes, little skirmishes all over the place. I wanted the final
little?
Battle.
Really? They practically destroyed Alexandria.
I thought Maggie, when she took them out with those flashing lights, like, she took out a bunch
of
them. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was a pretty big battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm talking about the all-out battle.
When all their guns
the final.
Blow up.
I can see it from your point of view, though. I mean, if that's what you were expecting, you would want to see that.
Yeah.
You would want to see some slow-motion carnage.
Yes.
some, you know...
I wanted to see some score settling. I mean, it just seemed like, you know, it just worked out lovey-dovey for everybody. It was like, let's just have a big group hug at the end of this thing.
So who would you have want, all out war now in Carnage? Who would you have wanted to see killed?
Yeah, good question.
I would have liked to see Negan killed.
Negan for one, yeah, I agree.
I mean,
with that.
Absolutely. That's just ridiculous. I mean, I know from what I heard, the comics he lives on or whatever. But you know what? This is not the comics. It doesn't fit in this show at all. There were too many people gunning for him. To have him walk away from this battle and they're going to put him on a parade in a prison. I mean, I just thought that was absolutely stupid. I wanted a conclusion to the story, you know, and that's just all that's going to happen with that is Negan's going to hang around next season. We're going to see a lot of people visiting Negan and having little chats with him in his cell. And then eventually he's going to convince somebody to let him out. And then we got the whole situation again.
But we got Maggie trying to kill him, too.
Well, that's fine. And in that part, I'm actually really intrigued with. I like the fact that I want to see Maggie go after Rick.
Honestly, I think that one was a little weird to me at the end. Just what we're supposed to be led to believe on that one. Because it feels like, that she's going after almost like she's going after Rick and Michonne at the end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I don't think is what they were trying to... portray. I think they were trying to portray that they're going to go after Negan because Rick and Michonne made a bad decision.
Right.
But I think the whole plan of Negan and what he had hashed out on how he was tricking people the entire time, you know, and like sends these other saviors out to be sacrificed. I thought that was great. I think the only thing that was a huge negative to me was how easy it was for Eugene to turn on everybody and how he was able to get every freaking gun to blow up.
No one checked.
And, like, all these guys went down. They all died from, not all of them, but there was a whole series of guys that never got back up. And you're like, come on.
Well, no one tried firing a bullet the whole time. No one, you know, just wanted to see if the ammunition really worked. Not one guy. There's 100 guys up there. Not one guy tried.
Well, Negan tried it.
Negan tested it out, and they had orders to not waste the bullet.
Exactly. Oh, so they had to trust Eugene. And Eugene, up to this point, has been very loyal to Negan.
If anybody knows anything,
there's no way that you can get a misfire to happen like that. Like
all in a row,
Like everybody hit misfire at the same time, and everybody went down.
Yeah.
That was a little.
Well, not only that. If you're anybody who knows anything about guns, someone's handing you homemade bullets. You're not going to try them. I mean, you're sitting here holding an automatic rifle, and you've got that next to your face, and
You don't have bullets. And here, I mean, I do think that that's a pretty valid point. These were handmade bullets because they don't have any. You don't waste them, you know?
But you still would, if you were anybody who had anything, not any knowledge of guns, you would have tried some. You would have. I mean, you wouldn't want to. You know that a homemade bullet would.
Not if Negan told you not to.
A homemade bullet would not be good in a gun if it doesn't work. These people know that.
If Negan told you not to try them, you would not be trying them. Bottom line.
I don't think Negan would not tell you to try them.
If someone gave you a bunch of
They did test them. They had a set of test guns. They had a set of test guns that they shot those test bullets from. Okay. And then everybody went back to and got their own gun. That was already rejiggered.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to make it work.
We'll go with that. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, so Eugene, in my eyes, you know, I was saying, you know, put a hole in his head. He's at the top of the kill list. Mm-hmm. I hate him. I still hate him. Yeah. I still hate him. He still has not redeemed himself.
Agreed.
He did what he should have done, and he should have done it sooner. Mm-hmm. Trying to fly the radio out to distract the workers. No, he shouldn't have got them out of the sanctuary in the first place.
Yep.
It was just so weird how that turn happened.
Well, he didn't even decide to do it until after Father Gabriel tried to. He even says that. Right. You know, he was gonna make bullets just fine, and it was after he saw what Father Gabriel did, and after Rosita told him to do something with his pathetic life, that he decided to turn.
Right, right.
Well, that, you know, at that point, he punishes Father Gabriel as well for it.
Yeah, I'm just talking about what I feel like he ought to have done earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he justified himself at the end, and he still didn't redeem himself in my eyes.
No, I was actually surprised that Rosita, like, punched him in the face. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everything's fine now.
Yeah, like, I was surprised about that too. Guy. Like, she just, like, all is forgiven just because of that situation. Mm-hmm. I don't buy that at all.
No.
But it was cool, if you watch it a second time, you know, you can kind of see the progression of how it's all going to happen. And when Gabriel jumps out of the car and Eugene catches him in the woods and he says something about, like, this is not the time to lose your faith.
Right.
This is the time that you need to keep it. And he's referring to what's getting ready to happen. Like,
well, I thought he was,
I thought he was
taunting
him. I'm going to take care of it.
I thought he was taunting him. This is the time you lose your faith? This is the time you lose your faith?
When you watch it the second time and you know what's going to happen, that whole exchange takes on a whole different meaning.
Yeah, like,
meaning.
Don't screw this up,
because
everything's getting ready to come to a head.
So I got it under control. Yeah.
Right.
Chill out.
Don't make Negan shoot you now, because the gun's going to malfunction. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Second time around.
Now, I did like you said, I did like the diversion he set up, sending the guys out to get killed. Even though I did think that was kind of a strange thing for him to do. What did he say about those guys that made them expendable? I couldn't quite understand what he was saying.
That was Simon's guys. Those were the outpost guys.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, so he said these guys came up with Simon.
Okay.
So they kind of set themselves up for this. He's like, I don't enjoy killing my own people, but they were Simon's guys.
I gotcha. Okay, that's where I missed that part. I couldn't quite figure out what they were expendable
that's
for.
That's when he hands him the fake note,
right.
And the guy's like, yeah, we got this. And he's like, dumbass.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense now.
That makes sense now.
Yeah.
I got it.
So we got Crazy Morgan running around there.
Oh, yeah, that's like starting it out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Morgan just goes ape shit when the other saviors that had volunteered to clear the fences come walking
back in. The hilltop saviors.
Yeah, the hilltop saviors, exactly.
Which totally confused me at first, too, because I was like, why are they walking in front of this horde of walkers and nothing's happening? They're like, it's just a walk in the park.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It was nice to see that they're actually trying to help. It was all for, like, they were. All on purpose.
Yeah, and Morgan flips out and almost takes out Henry.
Yeah, and you know, Stu, one thing I was going to say when you were talking about Maggie, how you thought it was a little strange at the end, the way that went down. But it kind of made me think back, you know, we were talking about the fact that Maggie's been kind of a secondary character in the background recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time we've seen her, she's been pissed off. I mean, she's royally been pissed off. And I think part of it is because I don't think she really liked the way Rick was doing this. I don't think she was comfortable with the way this stuff was being planned out. And that's why, you know.
And he doesn't ask. He just kind of, I mean, that we've said that before. That's why we always thought that she was more of a leader, is because he just kind of goes half-cocked and goes off with his own plan and starts hunting people down.
So to me, that's why that scene kind of made a little bit of sense. She was a little uptight with Rick's leadership. I mean, Rick's leadership has been pretty weak at best. Throughout.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, he walked them into an ambush. Eugene saved their asses.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't Rick that did anything like that. And Rick's a shitty fighter. I hate to say it. when he and Negan went at it, Negan kicked his ass pretty easily. And, yeah. You know, I don't know. But I can see why Maggie would be a little disgusted with Rick.
You said that she had been a secondary character for the season, but I feel like also all three of those characters in that room have been secondary in this second half of the season. The story just hasn't been written around them.
Right.
And I feel like Jesus for the whole season eight, where's Jesus been?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's been like trying to find supplies or something.
Yeah. Then they tried to interject his Jesus philosophy in this last episode. And I'm kind of going, yeah, that's a little late now.
Yeah. You know, like the duality of that, of the character, like he's, In the early part, telling Morgan to spare life and not kill with the pointy end. Mm-hmm. But then at the end, in this little cabal with you know, Daryl and Maggie, what are they going to do? Kill Negan? Yeah. You know, like, so it didn't, that seemed a little odd to me, that duality. Oh, yeah. Now, as far as Maggie's concerned, I can definitely see your point about not liking what Rick's doing. And Daryl too. Mm-hmm. Daryl blew up the he threw that dynamite when Rick told him not to. Like they're not as tight as they used to be.
Right.
You know.
Thank God Daryl actually had some good lines this time. He seemed like season one Daryl.
That does excite me though a little bit for next season. I want to see Rick on some shaky ground with these people. I think it'd be good for Rick to kind of get a little bit
redeem
of
himself.
Yeah, well, you know, the show is so Rick centric. It would be nice to see Rick get knocked down a little bit.
Oh, and she makes a point of
it's been a couple seasons.
Yeah, she makes.
I thought Negan completely emasculated him that first part of season 7.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
But he is a little bit big for his britches now.
yeah.
No, but they The thing that Maggie does say is she really makes a point of Michonne being involved in that decision-making. I mean, she says, and Michonne.
Mm-hmm. Is it just because Michonne held her back?
Yeah. Yeah, and Michonne's involved with Rick.
Right.
Well, didn't Maggie have a gun on her? Like, why couldn't she take a shot at Negan right there?
Well, I think she did, but the doctor was on him and so forth like that. I mean, it wasn't like she was going to start shooting
put
people.
The bullets in there.
Okay, so if we're going to talk about the death, the pseudo death scene, I have a lot of beef with that, because here we are hearing from Rick again how you need to take Carl's words to heart and that we are going to live this amazing life after the all-out war, and then he slices his throat.
Oh, he's complete contradiction. I mean, he's using it's just like when Morgan pointed that out.
Right.
At the beginning, he talks about how they've crossed a line.
What did he say? What, we're worse than we were?
Yeah.
And he was right. He was absolutely right.
That was a great scene, because Morgan's calling out something that, you know, it's like, listen, man, I mean, we killed all those people after, you know, we tried to gain their trust.
But, you know, Stu, at the same time, he's calling him out on it, but he's also not saying it's bad. You know, he's just saying we're bad now. But, you know, he said you did what you had to do. He wasn't saying that it was a bad thing.
He's making Rick realize what they did, you know, that it's like
you
can't just ignore the fact of what we did. So, yeah, he is owning it.
But it's like I've been saying in the past, if we had started this whole series from Negan's perspective, Rick would totally be in the bad.
Yeah.
He would be the Negan.
Oh, yeah.
And Negan would be the actual savior guy. So, but coming off that last episode with Rick and Morgan at the bar when they took out Jared, and then thinking that, okay, Rick has come to the realization that this is not the way to do things, and then for him to do the exact same thing again with Negan, it really pissed me off. Because I'm like, what the hell do you have to do to this guy for him to see that life is precious and you need to not do what you're doing? But I think
we felt immediately guilty, though.
Right.
But why? Why this time?
Well, because of Carl. He as soon as he did it, he immediately felt guilty. And that's why I told the doctor to go save him.
Which I have another bone to pick with. Sadiq had no bag on him. No suture material. No bandages.
I thought he did.
How did he save him?
He MacGyvered it.
I thought he did have something on him.
He used switchgrass, I believe.
I did not see a bag on that man. And if you're telling me that you can slit the man's throat in the middle of a field and transport him back to Hilltop and he did not bleed out, bullshit.
Well, they had Band-Aids.
Well, especially in the fact when he gets slit in the throat, he falls on the ground like he's dead already.
Yeah.
It's like, like Negan wouldn't be grabbing his throat and still trying to fight.
And Rick automatically says, Negan's still alive. We got things we can do with this with our lives. I'm like, how do you know he's still alive? You just slit his damn throat.
Right.
Well, he's bleeding out.
Check on him.
But, you know, even before that, though, I mean, what was I couldn't figure out why Negan was getting so misty-eyed there. I mean, Rick's talking to him, and I thought Megan was going to start crying. I'm like, come on. What the hell is this?
I love that boy, Carl.
I know. Right, what is Negan's father now or something?
I mean, come on.
Negan had transformed at that moment. He was not going to do anything to Rick. He was not going to kill him. And Rick still slashed his damn throat.
I just thought that was so stupid. Negan, I wanted Negan to go, oh, Carl!
Now, in the olden days, what would have happened is Negan would have feigned that he was buying into what Rick was selling.
Right.
He would have feigned it and made one last-ditch attempt, and then the good guy would have slashed his throat and been justified.
Oh, right.
In the old days.
That's true.
Maggie would have been there and slashed his throat.
Right. Well, the hero would have been saved somehow.
Yes.
Right. So they didn't tell the story that way.
Right.
Or, like Negan would have beat the crap out of him with the bat. And then as Rick is laying on the ground, he would just, like, turn all of a sudden and had to go
ass.
Exactly.
You saved yourself. Like that.
Exactly.
It would have been justified.
Yeah.
Exactly.
More justified.
But the scene immediately afterwards when they pan back to Rick and pan out to a larger scope, I guess, and you see everybody behind Rick, and you can see the stained glass window, and then everybody's lined up behind Rick like shadowy figures. Beautiful scene. Loved it.
When they all had their hands up and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a gorgeous scene.
So, very cinematic.
It was great. It was very comic book, actually.
Well, I mean, the scene when they come over the hill, I mean, it was reminiscent of one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen in a movie, which was the 1960s movie Zulu. Which I don't know if you ever remember that one of the British soldiers and the Zulu nation.
Do you remember that?
They're on a little outpost, and the Zulu nation is all surrounded them on these hilltops, beating their drums and their shields, and scary as hell. And
that was like that scene in Fear the Walking Dead when they were on the ranch.
Yes,
and,
the hilltops.
The Native Americans
did
the same thing.
Oh yeah, they started lighting fires around.
Yeah. So I thought that was a neat scene. Still, didn't have me.
She had a lot of extras gathering on Ridgeline.
There wasn't enough extras. There needed to be more.
Oh,
there were
all
about
the
400.
Walkers. Yeah, they're all the walkers.
Yeah, all the walkers were
about
the distance.
100
that you could not
best.
See. That was the thing. Like
the first scene, I didn't see. What are they looking at? A horde?
Yeah,
I didn't see.
Oh my God, that was terrible, wasn't it?
I know.
I couldn't see a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later on when they showed it close up that you realized what it was.
Have you seen something that big?
And we were like, trees? What are they?
I assumed they meant a horde. But I didn't
see it. Kept looking. I thought maybe there was like a fire in the distance or something.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at it. You know, when they went back to it the second time, I was thinking, okay, I still don't see anything there. What the hell?
And Stuart and I saw it at the theater on the large screen and still did not see the horde.
Wow.
Only two rows back.
We're in the second row. We were craned backwards. Thank God they had like the reclining chairs, but still. I was getting motion sickness because all the walker faces at the very beginning of the episode, and they're like chomping their teeth. I was getting sick. By the way,
I got to complain about that one too. That's
what?
Way too close up on those walkers. They look really cheap when they're that close.
In the bright light. Get close up in the dark.
Yeah, pull back a little bit. I mean, that just made them look cheap. I mean, you could see the rubber extensions and shit on their faces and stuff. And you're kind of like, really?
Well, if we're talking about scenes that we really liked or don't like, the scene with the trio in Maggie's office and Daryl comes out of the darkness.
Yeah, that's cool.
And he's kind of lit, like the commercials, the trailers they were doing for season 7, I think it was, mm-hmm. when they had everybody in a dark room mm-hmm. and would circle around him. Mm-hmm. It was very angelic, like, mm-hmm. I loved it.
Well, it was creepy. I wouldn't say angelic. It was almost, it was more devilish, you know.
You would almost expect Jesus to be in that situation, to be in that part of the scene and have Daryl sitting there and then have Jesus revealed as the mysterious third character.
Except Jesus,
I would like that better.
Jesus was, but I don't think Jesus was on board with this. I think Jesus was sitting there needing to be convinced because, his reaction to it wasn't like, oh yeah, you know, his reaction was, well, what do you mean we need to do or something like that. And that's when, you know, then Daryl makes his appearance. And, you know.
He actually wasn't even in the room. He just kind of was walking down the hall.
He was actually.
That's what it looked
like. He came right out of.
Yeah, we can do that.
Stu, he was actually made of the wood that was in the walls. He just came right out of the walls.
I thought you guys were talking about going hunting for squirrels.
I got me some squirrels.
Because we do need to do that.
With some grits.
So what was on,
that'll kill
what was that squirrel. A on Dwight's shirt?
Yeah.
Well, outfit that Daryl wore.
Yeah, but we've never understood what the A is for, though, right?
Okay. I didn't recall that as being Daryl's outfit.
There were different letters. I guess they lined up the slaves at some point and they spelled out different words or something. I don't know why they had different letters.
I thought they
they've been using the A for a long time.
We always called him Alvin.
Yeah, but Stu, they were using that A before Daryl got one.
I don't even recall it. I was not paying attention.
That was Easy Street episode.
Okay.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta remember that.
Yeah. I don't remember the A, but I remember the episode.
We'll play the song.
But it seems like any time they had a prisoner like that or whatever, they had an A on them, and I don't remember. Or we talked about it one time. We didn't know what it meant, and I didn't know if anybody.
Well, we talked about the A kind of showing up in a series of different places,
right?
But I think other people had different letters, didn't they?
There were some C's, I think. Okay, maybe. But I'm not going to reveal any information. But for some comic book readers, some people are speculating that it could lead to a new character's arrival.
The A?
Those yeah. letters?
Or it could a? Be like a...
So this sounds like a reaching thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds like a deep reach. I mean, why would you have it on prisoners' outfits?
Foreshadow,
thank you.
Foreshadow.
Foreshadowing to a new character coming in next season.
There must be a character coming in next season with an A in their name.
Must be an asshole.
Anne! Jadis!
No, it's Anne.
But it does seem odd that Daryl and Dwight seem to be trading clothes all the time.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's true.
With the vest and the A shirt. And
okay. Yes.
Well, what did y'all think about the scene between Daryl and Dwight at the very end when he takes him out to the woods and just releases him?
Oh, it was one of the best scenes for Daryl, like you said, all season.
I think it was definitely one of the best scenes for Dwight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I it was an excellent scene. It really was. I thought they made Dwight maybe a little bit too plaintive, you know, whiny at the end there. I kind of wanted him to be to stand up and be the man instead of, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Well, he did, because he did. Right. Like, leading into it, he actually, his,
exactly.
His conversation was great and just accepting the fact that, listen, I deserve
it. I wanted him to stick with that. Right.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he kind of broke down.
Because he had realized his mortality. He was facing his mortality. Oh, yeah. He thought he was going to die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So
he said, I know why I'm out here. I can't say
I wouldn't do the same damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, you could accept responsibility.
I'm like, Daryl, please don't kill me.
But
the thing was, what I didn't understand about it is he had already just said, I accept what you're going to do. And then he starts pleading for himself. And I'm kind of like, that's disappointing because I really liked the way Dwight was handling the situation. He was going to go out like a man, like he said he was going to do from the beginning. He said he's told him all along he knew what his fate was going to be.
Well, he didn't. I mean, he wasn't running from it. I mean, nope. he had kind of given up and said, listen, this is it. Just do it. kind of thing. And I agree that I wish he kind of didn't grovel quite so much, but
Daryl's line about find her was great.
Oh, I know.
That was excellent.
And if he does find her and comes back with her, he won't get killed.
No, I think we'll see him again.
That's true.
I think we'll see him again.
I'd like to see him again. I want to see more from the character. Mm-hmm. I think there's good stories to be told with him.
Yeah.
I find him more interesting than someone like Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, same.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know. Right.
And for some reason, I'd like him more than I'd like Eugene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, oh, God, right? Yes. I like him. Oh, God, I like him more than a lot of characters. I like him better than Rosita. Yeah. I like him better than...
Yeah.
Tara?
Yeah, any of these. I mean, Dwight was a great character.
The comment Negan makes at the start when he's kind of putting him down.
Yeah, about the...
And he calls him, has the knotted cheese.
Yeah, things. Right. I love that. That was great.
That was great.
That was horrible.
But yeah, I mean, when he like completely
even when you had that knotted cheese face, you still had the respect of these people.
Yeah, now you are nothing. Now you are nothing. Yeah,
now you are nothing.
So what's the infinity honeymoon thing?
Well, I have a feeling that's where she's at.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I have a feeling he knows to go to the location where they had their honeymoon.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And that's where he's gonna find
her. Yeah, I love that the pretzels and beer were done. That he had left her.
Mm-hmm. She consumed them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, I thought that was fantastic. I like that.
Yeah. So I think we'll see her next year.
As much as I'm bitching and moaning about this episode, I did enjoy the last 5 minutes of it. I think. I really did.
Well, thank God.
I mean, but it saved a lot.
I think
it saved a lot.
You usually come into our podcast just wanting to bitch and moan about a lot of things, I think.
Well, it's usually about you, Stuart, but nonetheless.
We just have to weed through all that stuff until we get to your positives.
Mm-hmm. Well,
your positives
a lot of times
are usually really good.
A lot of times you come into an episode not liking it, and by the time we finish talking about it, you like
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. like it a lot.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, you just admitted to liking the last 5 minutes.
No,
so that's
and I've even got that in my notes. I loved the last 5 minutes of it.
Okay, good.
No. I thought, you know, when we get to hit or miss, you'll hear. But I do think that definitely the last 5 minutes of it at least made me interested for next season,
which
for a little while there I wasn't. You
weren't excited for next season?
No, not particularly. One thing I thought was kind of a neat revelation is, getting back to the battle between Rick and Negan was the fact that Negan had killed Abraham because he didn't want to kill Rick in front of his son.
Mm-hmm. Abraham mm-hmm. and Glenn.
Yeah, but remember, Glenn was killed because Daryl attacked Negan. I don't think that was his original intention. I think he was going to kill Abraham and that was going to be it.
He said he didn't want to kill, he said that he killed Glenn and Abraham for that reason.
Right. But I think, really, you know, if you look back at the scene, though, the reason he killed Glenn is because Daryl attacked him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's he was like, but he wasn't going to kill the person that actually
right.
did
but
the
he
act.
Glenn wasn't part of the eeny, meeny, miny, moe thing either. You know, that was picking Abraham. And anyway, I just thought it was really interesting that that little piece came out. I thought that was a interesting thing for him to tell Rick.
Well, and did you mention the connection between the fact that Morgan saved Rick from mm-hmm. death because of his son being around?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So there's, I mean, there is that connection of, okay, what does that mean? I don't know what that means, but I mean, there's, they made a point of it in this last two episodes that was, I don't.
And Rick almost killed Negan because of his son?
Yeah.
No, I think what it means is, I think it means that these guys were thinking of the future when they were doing things. You know, they were thinking about how this is going to reflect on their future progression. Morgan's son was going to carry forward. He didn't want to give him the wrong impression. Same with Negan with Rick's son.
Yep.
It's kind of like Innocence Lost. If you get rid of their fathers, who is going to be there to raise them
right.
and to show them the ways of the world and teach them the values
or
and stuff?
It could be that you don't want to be stuck with the kid.
Right. Well, there's that.
Because they just hate kids.
You know, I like the roundabout way, though, that he threw it back in Rick's lap that, you know, Carl may be alive now if I had killed you first.
Yeah. Well, Negan's good at turning the situation, the conversation like that.
It's like a Catholic mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, we all, I'm sorry, we're all having
I know. Slight, we're all cringing like, oh God, I remember that. Here. Oh.
That brought this to a screeching halt, like a long diatribe from Daryl.
So sorry.
Yeah, wow.
Everybody come back to reality.
On that note, let's take a break. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll be back in a minute, everybody. All right, everybody, we're back. Hey, we had a sighting. The Oceansiders were around.
They finally showed up.
I love that they were all on surfboards. That was kind of cool.
They took their shit and got off the pot.
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
Finally.
Thank you for remembering that.
I thought they were going to be throwing fish at people.
Well, I can't believe, though, those that we Molotov saw them for
cocktails
like a split
were
second.
Quite explosive.
They were.
In the theater, though, people cheered. That was the only time we heard any fan reaction in the theater.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, there was like we were clapping for stuff, whatever. But when the Oceanside people showed up, people were like, yay!
Yeah,
and
release.
Then it was like, then they're gone.
Wow. A release.
Really? But that's all you heard in the theater? That was the only cheering?
Yeah.
That's not good for them. That's not good at all.
No.
I know.
Yeah.
This fans should have been getting fired up during this episode.
I don't know if people were just trying to be cordial in the theater, you know, like you're supposed to be. But, like, Stuart and I were talking the whole time, and I was pointing at stuff as I noticed it. And
oh, good. You must have been fun to sit behind.
Yeah, because I was in the second row. So.
We got asked to leave at one point.
No, when I go see movies, I get into them. I completely go mindless. I munch my popcorn. I get absorbed into the story, and I react.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am the only one reacting in a theater.
And that's why I'm sitting far, far away from you when I'm watching the movie.
I know.
I go to enjoy it, man. I want to go on the ride.
This is different. It's all about like fan reaction. I mean, they build it all up before with you know, people coming in, you know, whoever, but they had Chris Hardwick coming in and stuff and like, "Yeah, we're glad the fans are here." So, yeah, people are supposed to be reacting to this. It's supposed to be like
It was
when you get
yeah. That, I was expecting more of a Rocky Horror Picture type scene in there than that. I mean, that's pretty tame.
It was cool. They actually had clips that they created just for the theater goers of the celebrities talking to us. And Chris Hardwick came on and was like, "I'm so glad you guys are here at the theater, and I hope you enjoy it. And don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. That sort of thing," like he always does on the show. And but, you know, there were no celebrities there, except Stuart did spot somebody from the Hilltop.
Guy, yeah, one of the guys from the Hilltop. Oh, man, you had to put me on the spot. I forgot.
I can't remember. He's the one on the wall who has the ponytail.
Oh, the spike-haired guy. The Asian guy.
No. Oh. No, he's, like, Hispanic-looking.
I was going to say, man, that guy's got a serious supply of hair gel.
No, this is the Hispanic-looking guy who has a slicked-back, tight hair ponytail. Yes.
Yeah. He was in the truck with Tara and
yes, he was.
And Rosita when they went to the sanctuary at the end.
He's from Atlanta.
He's from Atlanta, so he was there. And then we saw some guy in the bar getting his makeup done as if he were a zombie, and then I never saw him again. So I thought they were gonna have like an intermission where some zombies come out. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
We did get
no
a cool
fanfare.
Poster. No. We got a poster, a special commemorative poster, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just funny.
And we were way too close to the theater screen.
Well, how many theaters was it playing at in this area?
Like four or five theaters
in Atlanta,
I think.
There was that many? Oh, okay.
So maybe they didn't make it up to the northern suburbs of Fulton County.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Apparently a lot of the actors were at a theater in L.A.
Oh.
Because they haven't started shooting yet. They don't start shooting for another 2 weeks here in Atlanta.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
I was excited.
I mean, it was still fun. It was exciting to go.
Well, they showed up. They lended an assist to the Hilltoppers to...
Yes, they did.
To kill those burn victims and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
preserve the Hilltop.
Yeah.
Kudos to the Oceansiders.
And we had to spend a whole episode of courting them for a 5-minute cameo.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we did see Aaron in it, too. That was cool.
We did.
Aaron
yes,
was
we
front
did.
And center. So I guess we'll see them again next.
Was he? I completely missed it.
He had a big old smile on his face. He's like, I did it.
He did. Yeah.
I did it.
And then he fell down because no one gave him any food.
But, you know, even when they said, everybody go home and, like, put your stuff back together and do what you got to do, we still didn't see the Oceansiders, like, did they go home?
No, they were still at Hilltop.
How do you know?
Well, I mean, the battlefield was not there.
They were actually still standing out there like, wow, we only got 5 minutes?
We saw our people go back to Hilltop, and we did not see any Oceansiders there.
Like, they completely took the campers away. We came all the way from the ocean, damn it.
You
like,
mean it was that easy to beat Negan?
Yeah.
The Sanders?
We should have done a year ago.
We didn't even get a sandwich for this. This sucks.
Aaron's like turning them around like, you guys can go now. Thanks.
Oh, it's deuces. Time to move along, folks. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Deuces.
Negan's people had the sandwiches. That was the problem. They killed all those people.
Yes, they did. Mostly. They did. Sanctuary sandwiches. Lovely choice. And then we had our cameo from Jadis, otherwise known as Anne.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
I was kind of
scratching my head about that one too. I mean, I thought Jadis was waiting around for this helicopter to show up. I guess the helicopter's no longer coming.
Yeah, she was very eager
to
leave.
Once a week, once a month, we don't even know.
Right.
I don't
Maybe
know.
She'll come back.
Maybe not again. She kind of was acting like, well, I guess I'm going to go live with these people.
I know. She turned very quickly. I didn't understand that either. And then she was like, sure, you can live here with all of our secrets.
Well, I was very surprised that she opened up the container to let Morgan in so quickly. After all the shit that's been going on.
Yeah.
It seemed like, I mean, yeah, she had a gun, but still, I mean, there could have been like 20 people outside there waiting for her when she opened that thing up. So that seemed a little weird. And then where Morgan's like, they want to accept you back. And, you know,
right. And she's like, okay, well, let me go get my stuff.
Yeah, but it's no good being alone out here. You need people. You need people. And then Morgan's like, yeah, but except for me.
Except for me.
I don't need anybody.
I'm good.
This whole convincing conversation, but. Except for on my part, because I don't like people at all.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Well, it would have been perfect if he just looked at her and he went, I ain't right.
Yeah.
I ain't right.
Yeah.
You go back. You're like good. That. I ain't right.
It's hard to figure out, like, where the...
And then he hangs out there. Like, why is he hanging out there? I mean...
he wanted to be alone, Stuart.
But that's what I'm saying. It's hard to figure out where the two episodes ended, because in the theater... It was one long episode for us.
Yeah, because there were no commercials.
There were no commercials at all. So we got done like 30 minutes, 45 minutes before you guys finished watching.
That shows you how many ads they got going on in this damn thing. Jesus.
Seriously.
But then all of a sudden they're doing, it was like this weird interview process of all the people coming into the heap. Like, hey, Morgan, come on, we really do like you. And so, yeah, it just kind of continued into it. But
Yeah,
it bled right into the Fear episode, which I thought was great, actually.
It actually,
I did too.
Yeah, it, it
I
worked.
Wish they would
it
do
played
that a lot
out
more.
Really well. It did play out really well.
And then, you know, of course, so now Morgan is left. He's traipsed along. He's gone on a walkabout. That's going to take him a long way. And then we're going to be seeing him coming up on the Fear from now on.
Yeah, which we cannot talk about because we're talking about that tomorrow.
Right.
And what was the savior with the mouth? Who got eaten at the gate.
Oh,
he
yes.
Came, he visited Morgan. He had a vision of him, Jared.
Jared, yes.
He had a vision of him. I can never remember his name. I just hated him. He just had that
Jared.
Mouth. Yeah.
Jared, yes.
he appeared to Morgan again and was, you know, talking stuff.
That's right.
So what I had hoped, and what it appears to me, is that they introduced the hallucinations right at the end of this season to give Morgan a way out of the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that I felt like he was going to deal with whatever crazy he had going on the original show. And then when he got onto Fear, he'd be past that.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm looking forward to where his story goes.
Yeah, I am too. I'm not a big fan of Crazy Morgan.
No, not at all. Not at all. Mm,
I like Morgan when he's mysterious. Morgan's okay. Crazy Morgan, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
But how do you think his departure will affect people like Carol? Because Carol's come to really depend on him and depend on his companionship.
I wonder if that's even going to be explored. Yeah. To tell you the truth, next season, I wonder if that's even going to be brought up. I think they'll probably just carry on.
Mm-hmm.
I think Morgan was crazy enough that you could tell Rick was uncomfortable around him. You know, when he was telling him, he said, "Don't even come to the battle."
Yeah,
we don't need to bring that kind of crazy with us.
True.
No, I think maybe it's a sigh of relief for them to have Morgan leave, in some respects.
Yeah, but he's also been there since the very beginning, and even if he has taken a trip to Crazy Town,
he ain't right.
He was somebody who was a trusted confidant for Rick and then eventually for Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a friend. He's a really good friend of theirs.
They tried to get him to come back. They all went and spoke to him at the junkyard.
Yeah.
He's a bit bipolar, I think. They don't have much medication out there.
Well, don't forget, he was also a huge sense of frustration for them, too. I mean,
well, he was a liability.
Well, I mean, his whole thing about I don't kill all of a sudden, you know, when he needed to be killing people, you know, that kind of stuff. And so forth. It was frustrating for Carol. It was frustrating for Rick. You know, King Ezekiel. All of them were just kind of like, oh, God, this guy's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was a huge sense of frustration for the cast, too.
But when they see him fight, they're like, yeah, we could keep him around a little bit longer.
Right.
Well, you never know what, like, where he was going to be. Is this killing Morgan, or is this, like, passive Morgan today? Mm-hmm. Where are you right now?
Yeah.
What's your mood?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which makes him, you know, that would make you have a sigh of relief not having to deal with that.
Well, I mean, in honesty, he's kind of like an addict. He's either one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, like, when he's in the killing mode, it's like there's no stopping him.
He's Batman.
When he's in control, he's, like, barely in control. You know, he's, like, he's doing everything in his power to keep that control. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Batman was huge into crack.
We will have some good stories this season on Fear with Morgan, I think
so, too. I'm very excited for Fear.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think it's time for hit or miss. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Kim, you want to roll it out?
Yes. I do have a couple.
No. No.
I especially like how you introduced that.
I
had a couple.
I can stick to one if we want.
You can.
We want. We want.
I don't have hit or misses.
Okay. Cool.
Go for it.
You can use one of Cash's.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess you could kind of call them, like, I just have some call-outs that I want to make about the episode that I thought were really cool.
Holla!
So the first one, which is actually a hit, was when, at the very beginning of the episode, when Rick asked Sadiq, how did Carl get bit?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the story that Sadiq told him was very heartfelt and genuine and kind of endeared Sadiq to Rick, maybe just a teensy bit, because he knows that Sadiq was there when Carl got bit. You know, he was there kind of during his final hours, and he understood the motivation behind what Carl was doing that led him to that point of death. But when he was telling him the story, he said, "All that's left of the people we lose is their ideas." And then Rick touched his heart. Made me want to cry, y'all. He touched his heart, and I think that hit him really hard. And I think that eventually is what led to Rick saving Negan.
Or sparing him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I don't have a hit or miss, but I do have a in memoriam.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What?
The Savior's whistle.
Yes.
Oh,
that's true. I guess we won't.
I'm gonna miss that thing. It was so ominous, and I was like, "Uh oh, what's gonna happen?"
Like, I'm scared if we ever go camping and hear that.
It's gone. In memoriam. So
good point. Yep. Good point. Okay, I like that.
Stuart, next hit.
My hit's kind of a weird one, but I really enjoyed it, was when Father Gabriel gets away and Eugene has the gun on him, and Negan's like, nah, this one's mine. I'm going to call dibs on this.
Yeah.
And he hits him with the bat in the stomach and knocks him down.
Right.
Up until the point where he's like, just cart him off to take him to the car. Because it was that feeling again that he was going to take him out. Yeah,
that was
like
a little bit of a fake eye. I thought he was going to bash him.
His acting definitely put it in the point. Like, he's, okay, Father Gabriel's dead.
Yeah.
So that was actually, again, kind of brought a more of that Negan feel back.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, true. And I think he decided not to do it because he wanted the theatrics of killing him in front of Rick and everybody else.
Right, yep.
Yeah, that's true.
That was his call.
Yep.
Okay, Scott.
My hit was Dwight's happy ending. I thought that was a great way to end that story. And I hope we see Dwight again in the future. Yes. But I thought it was really cool, the empty beers and the bag of chips or whatever it was sitting on the table with the note was a great way to end it for him.
It was good. God, it's weird, Scott. You surprise me sometimes.
I know.
Because you seem to hate the sensitive parts, and then, like, you bring one out. So, I agree with you. I think that was definitely a good scene.
Yeah, I like Dwight as a character, and I wanted to see him, you know, come out of this on the positive side.
That's right.
Do you need a tissue now?
Yep.
So, I have a few honorable mentions, like I said.
Oh, we're still going with that, aren't we?
Okay. Yeah, we're still going with that because I really like these things. So one, as a comic book reader, I really loved that Rick mentioned the New World several times, I might add, which is the title of the next
arc story.
Yeah.
Arc.
Thank you, Cash.
I may need to reread this summer.
You do. I am going to reread this summer. I'm so excited to read the comics. Yeah.
I'm really excited for you two to shut the hell up.
I'm not saying anything else. But anyways, okay. And then when Rick is sitting under the tree and he's got the weepy red eyes like we saw at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my mercy prevails over my wrath. And he's sitting under the tree and they pan out and the two stained glass windows are on either side of him and it looks like a cross. The tree is the vertical, and then the windows are the horizontal of the cross, and he's right in the middle as if he's like Jesus almost, fallen from the cross. Very awesome symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next part, I think, is that Alden, I'm calling it, Alden's going to be Maggie's new love interest. I can see it leading that way.
Yeah.
And that makes me kind of excited.
Yeah, really? Kind of fleck.
Yeah. Oh, and then
you're talking about deadpan Alden?
Yes.
Everything's very monologue with Alden.
The way when they were at Hilltop and the way he like turned and looked at her as she walked away, I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boston Alden.
Yeah.
Boston. Yes.
And then Eugene's line, I created a modicum of fooey for a full kablooey. Loved it.
Okay.
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 He also said fair play. About the punch to the jaw.
Yes, he did.
And that statement winds up being said again in Fear.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Good. He said it in Fear, though.
You can say it.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't remember? I don't remember. Where it was. Okay.
Yeah, I have to watch it again.
Okay.
Yes. But I remember.
Yes. I'll be looking at it. I'm going to watch it again, but I'm going to look out for that.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I said, oh, Eugene said fair play.
Nice, nice.
There we go.
All right, let's go to Negative Town.
Scott's favorite part of town.
I got a house.
My biggest beef with this episode is the ending where everybody's just all hunky-dory and in love with each other all of a sudden because somebody is simply called peace. And
I don't agree that everybody's hunky-dory and in love with each other. Like, Scott was saying that, too. Like, these people are not... I mean, there's a lot of questions.
Oh, come on. There was a big hug going on back at the sanctuary when Tara and them show up.
Rosita and Tara show up, and all the women and the wives are there, and they're like...
And Lara gives them, like, a big thumbs up. Hey, girl.
Exactly. That look. Like, we're all good, right?
Rosita looks up at Laura, who is working in the garden, I think, and she kind of gives like eyes like this. That girl's dirty. There's no way that she's gonna be good.
I know, but
she'll
making
be a troublemaker next season.
They're making it sound like everything's just all fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had they had the nice lovey-dovey music going on in the background too.
They did.
I would have loved to see them all hold hands and go skipping over the hilltop. That would have been perfect. Kumbaya.
Sunset.
Well, they had to give a good contrast to when you find Maggie talking to Jesus at the end there, right. Which was like super eerie music, and you're like, "What the hell's going on with these people?"
Yeah. Yes, yes. So, I like that part actually.
Of course you did, Scott.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
My miss was Jesus.
Hmm.
Jesus is all his narrative through this was just like, really? Like when he was trying to like change Morgan, and it was kind of like he was saying stuff that maybe like the cheesemaker guy had told him at one point, you know, where he's like, use this end and not that end. It was
right, right.
Like, come on, this is, well, before it was a cheesemaker, this was just cheesy. Like this was just kind of corny. And then all this, like you said before, like then he's in front of Maggie.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any major objection to what Maggie's saying.
Yeah, I'm still not so sure about that, Stuart.
I got the sense
that he was with her.
Yeah,
I did too.
I got the sense that he was maybe he wasn't fully on board, but he was definitely on board with what was being said.
Otherwise, right. Why would she be saying it to him?
Right.
Yeah. So
because she doesn't want anybody ratting her out.
Well, I think they were trying to convince him. I mean, I think I don't know. My sense is that he was a little uncomfortable with the situation.
I don't know. He was smiling.
Yeah. I didn't feel that. I think maybe
he wasn't smiling.
There, to use that word again, foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember reading that his appearance was going to change. He was gonna his look was gonna kind of match the way his look changed in the comic book, where he was gonna have a ponytail and look more like a samurai.
Going to fight mode.
Yeah, and so maybe that is foreshadowing that change, because this was a cool character who they introduced. I mean, he kicked Rick's and Dwight's ass.
That's true. Yeah, at the very beginning.
Dwight,
Daryl,
and Morgan's
relatively.
And Morgan's right.
He's been relatively useless.
And he has not done anything in season 8. They like took him off of the pallet for a while, put him on the bench, and said, "Okay, we'll take you out in season 9 or something like that." So maybe that's why he was in the room to kind of foreshadow some change to do with him and make him not a second tier player as much next season.
Right.
With this new world going on, they'll have to create new storylines and put some more threads out there because all this is wrapped up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's been quite a few episodes of them trying to convince Morgan of how important he is to their society. And, I mean, you know, they really laid it on thick going into Fear the Walking Dead as well. So, it was, I mean, there was obviously a lot of undertone of just, like, trying to transition Morgan into this new series. So, unfortunately, that kind of pulled away, I think, from some of the characters, too, because they were trying to push the writing that way.
Right.
But, it's unfortunate, because Jesus just kind of seemed lame. During this whole
he did. He did.
Yeah, not this. That's not the character they introduced.
No, not at all.
Scott, what's yours?
My miss was the scale of the battle. I just thought it was pretty anticlimactic. I wanted to see explosions. I want to see people running after each other, stuff like that. Instead, it was just kind of a face-off in a field.
You know, the weird one was, like, after all those, you know, the guns blow up and they're, like, laying all over the place and, you know, there was all those quiet moments where people are, like, killing people one-on-one.
Right, right.
Yet there's all these other people falling behind them and stuff. And then you see Negan running behind the tree by himself. That was just really weird to me. Like, him just kind of running, not fighting at all.
Right.
You know? I mean, yeah, he was injured. He got shot in the hand. He still has another good hand.
Could Rick not bring some extra bullets once in a while? I mean, my God.
He always runs out of bullets.
He always...
I mean, he needs a belt that has bullets on it, because, thank God, he's always running out of bullets with a stupid gun.
It was like 3 episodes back when he chased Negan into that other building?
He had
to throw the axe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Learn from it.
Exactly. Learn from your mistakes.
Do better.
Yeah, come on. You're a freaking ex-cop, man. Load up.
All right.
Before you're going into this shit.
Man.
Kim, do we have any listener comments?
We have a lot of listener comments. Fan Mom said, "This was a terrific episode. One of my favorite little things was seeing Negan's wives in their casual clothes near the inn. No more little black dresses and stilettos." I didn't even recognize them as their wives.
Oh, really?
At first.
You didn't?
Yeah.
That was actually one of my misses, but
I didn't even realize that until just now when you read the comment.
Yeah. I know.
Ryan the Lion said, I understand why Maggie in parentheses, is mad. I would be too. If this was real life and I was against Negan, I'd want him dead. But for the TV show, I'm glad he's still alive, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. JDM is an amazing actor.
Devane, at Devane Devane off Twitter, said, was worried my favorites might get killed in the finale. Such a relief, but next season is probably my favorites killing each other. Don't want to see Maggie square off with Michonne.
No, I think Maggie would die.
Do you think, like, at the ending of the episode that's what they were trying to portray? They're not actually saying Maggie's going to be fighting Michonne and Rick.
I think she means Negan.
Yeah, that's my thought, that they still want to get Negan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it will go across Rick's plans.
Yeah, because Maggie ain't lasting more shit.
Or maybe, I did give it some thought, and maybe we'll see Negan busting rocks or chopping wood or doing hard labor, you know.
Yeah.
Not just resting in a cell.
Like chain gang
material. Getting him out of that cell and giving him some hard.
No, I think we're going to be seeing Negan sitting in a cell going, well, Rick, how are you?
Well, hopefully the writers are more imaginative than that. Mm-hmm. They need to be. They know they need to be.
What happens to every evil villain that just gets put in prison?
They get out.
They go do something.
Well, I figure when Maggie goes to kill him, something's going to happen.
I'm not even going to ask what happens in the comic book, but I mean, that's the setup. It's like you keep the guy alive. He's going to get out. He's going to have his henchmen, a bunch of Negan henchmen.
They needed to veer away from the comic book on this one. He needed to go. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. We Heart TWD said, best episode ever. Eugene saved the day. I mean, who saw that coming? If it wasn't for him sabotaging the bullets, everyone would be dead. I love Eugene, and I think he's a character that you cannot replace. So I'm happy he redeemed himself. Aaron with Oceanside. What a moment. And then she goes on to say, a couple things I cannot get out of my head. Jesus at the end. I definitely cannot see him siding with Maggie on killing Negan. He said to Morgan, quote, you can stop people without killing them. He talked people down all season. Now he's siding with this. I hope there's more to it. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. And she also posted a photo on Twitter that showed Michonne actually holstering Carl's gun.
Yep.
During the fight scene when they were taking down the Saviors.
Isn't that sweet?
Nice touch.
Thank you, We Heart TWD.
Fan Mom said, I think Honeymoon was a clue to where she is. I really hope we see them together again. She's talking about Dwight and Sherry. Yep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Our listener, Emmeline Veltkamp, said, Maggie? Jesus? Daryl? What the H-E double hockey sticks? Ugh! I'm going to put all three of them in a timeout. But other than that, those three... I thought it was an enjoyable finale.
Emmeline, do you have little kids or are you a teacher? Something like
that. Horse pucky.
I know. That's funny. Pam Morse said, welcome Pam, said, good finale, but boy, I want a Negan gone. Loved the Eugene twist. Watched it at the theater and applause broke out at that moment. Well, hey, it sounds like you had more interaction than we did at ours.
Did you guys clap when Negan got the throat slashed?
I was like, what? I was in shock, actually, because I was like, he can't die. I know he signed for another year on his contract.
Yeah, Kim was bitching.
Oh, it was when the Eugene twist, I guess, everybody broke out in applause. Yes. What about that?
When
all the guns blew up?
Yes.
You know, actually, there were people that reacted to that.
Okay.
But again, not as much as Oceanside. I think everybody with the buildup of what Oceanside was all about, I think... everybody was wondering what the hell is up with Oceanside.
Are we still not going to see them?
Yeah, and so when it actually happened, I think people were like, oh!
There was a big relief.
It was worth it.
And they were here, and then they were gone.
Yep. Thanks for, all that time wasn't wasted. Something actually happened.
Nice cameo.
Mark LaVarnway said, Morgan didn't kill Rick when he first met him because Morgan's son was there. Negan didn't kill Rick because Rick's son was there. Rick killed everyone when his son was there. LOL. I'm glad that Morgan called out Rick about them both lying to the escaped saviors in the bar, and them behaving like monsters themselves. Great finale.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I'm glad that, like, right at the beginning of the episode, Morgan said it, and I felt good about it because it needed to be said.
Yeah.
We needed some acknowledgement from the characters that they did some abhorrent shit.
Exactly.
And they, and that you, yet the guy calling it out is the crazy guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In a moment of clarity.
A moment of clarity. Melissa McClure said, Walking Dead will always be about Rick. No matter how much we love the secondary characters, they will always be disposable because the show is Kirkman's baby and it's too tied to the comics. The problem with that premise in my brain is that Rick never changes. Rick still makes boneheaded decisions. He can't make a plan and stick to it, and his fighting skills haven't improved since the show started. I would rather see Rick devolve into an anti-hero, a.k.a. Walter White, than change or than not change and grow at all. I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I'd like to see something really different happen with Rick.
So that would mean that there would need to be some kind of foil mm-hmm. for that character to evolve, some other interactions and villains, or I don't know, yeah. maybe Rick would be the villain.
Well, right.
I think that to happen.
Yeah, you know, his character started changing when Maggie started taking control of everything. You know, Maggie was all of a sudden the leader, and then he didn't have the pressure of being the leader all the time. And go ahead, you were going to say something?
But he still acts like the leader in this finale he makes a decision about Negan's life.
Well, he's not necessarily... He doesn't want to be the leader. He wants to be the military decider. Yeah. He wants to be the person that goes out and makes the, you know, calculated decisions on what person lives
and
dies.
Don't you feel like with Rick, though, we're just kind of going around in circles with this guy? I mean... He gets crazy, then he goes on some war path and makes some bad decisions and then gets crazy, goes on the war path, made some bad decisions, gets crazy, goes on the war path.
Well, I think that's the frustrating thing of trying to figure out what the hell's going on with him at the end here, because all this stuff is happening with, you know, how he feels about Carl and what Carl's trying to impart on him as being, you know, not taking people's lives in, you know, for granted. And you know, that there is supposed to be this time after, but yet he keeps killing people.
Right.
So it's like he's deciding who, you know, who is justified to kill and who's allowed to live and who, you know, who actually, you know, fits the bill for what Carl's trying to impart on him.
And he's been going back and forth with this for all 8 years. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it's much more magnified now. Ever since Carl's death, now it's all of a sudden like he's like, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to kill everybody. And then once he figures that out, every time in the past like 5 episodes, once that hits him, he's like, oh yeah, but I'm gonna kill those 5 guys. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, what the fuck? And then he's like, oh, I feel guilty about killing those guys.
What do you want to bet we're going to be dealing with the same thing next season? What do you want to bet we're going to be dealing the same thing next season?
No, I don't think we will. I don't think we will next season. I think we'll see a different Rick next season.
Yep.
This was it. This was it. The show is going to, the way we will see fear changing, you know.
The same will happen with Walking Dead.
The same will happen with Walking Dead, yeah.
You know, the weird thing is that when you're dealing, Morgan and Rick kind of have this tie, and they both have this, like, confused, like, do we let him live or do we let him die kind of mentality. But Morgan always goes into the fugue state thing, mm-hmm. you know, and all of a sudden you hear like, and like, yeah, everything starts buzzing and stuff. Rick never goes into that, but he still goes into that.
Well, he gets crazy eyes. Like, he gets his crazy weepy eyes.
Killing people, but you don't have like the, you know, Rick's not like seeing, well, he did see dead people like way back at the prison and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. But he doesn't go quite into that. He doesn't go quite into that same thing that Morgan's going into, but he is. He's still reacting.
I wonder if he's going to get visits from Carl next season.
Possibly. Awesome. The cell phone will ring.
Carl sitting on a rock. Hey, Dad. Oh, yeah. God.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
No. No, it would not.
He'd have to grow his hair back out.
But Scott, what you said about the cyclical nature of Rick's character, I think, has also been a problem with the show, where, you know, moving from location to location and, you know, finding safety and then having that safety threatened, then losing that sanctuary, and then moving on to a new place and getting safe. And,
yeah, it's just kind of getting repetitious.
Yeah, and so now with All Out War was the cap to that. That was like, okay, boom, this type of world, this type of survival that we've been doing can't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. We need to evolve.
Yeah, but
and find a new way.
But then the show is going to lose interest because, I mean, one of the vehicles that made the show interesting was their moving about.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to be rebuilding society.
Mm-hmm.
And they better try. They better do their best to make it interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say. This doesn't sound like it's going to be that interesting.
It's going to be like Sim
City. I mean, I'm just wondering if the show's jumped the shark. I mean, you know, it's...
Well, I think a lot of people would say it has jumped the shark. We've talked about this a lot of times. When they killed Glenn and Abraham, mm-hmm. that was a jump the shark moment, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Negan, the introduction of Negan was the jump the shark moment. He was such a clown to begin with. I think he turned off a lot of viewers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a Fonzie leather jacket. Hey!
Hey!
Oh, that's very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is very true. And when he had the sharks with laser beams on their head.
Exactly. Oh, throw me a bone.
But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of other, I would assume, because I have not read anything. I haven't talked to Kim about mm-hmm. this. I would assume there are other bad things that happen. There's only positive things that they've kind of given us a glimpse into happening, maybe. I don't know what's up with the helicopter. But the person giving out books, the librarian lady, she seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And especially her truck is really sweet.
Well, Alden seemed to enjoy the book.
Alden, how did they let him read it? How does this guy getting access to that?
I know, you would think that would kind of be a...
He's like, yeah, I've been reading that.
It's now a coffee table book in the mansion.
Yeah. Oh, you're really? Right. Yeah, we thought that was a bunch of bullshit.
There's no value to this. Let's just leave it out.
Exactly.
That's like Middle Ages.
It's sitting there next to five-year-old People magazines. Oh, lovely. All right. Well, Kim, do we have any snazzy news items?
So the producers have just signed a 3-year contract with the town of Sonoy to build a windmill.
Hmm. Oh, really?
Yes. And to keep part of Alexandria going.
Was there any truth to they were talking about they had started taking some of Alexandria down? Is that
yeah,
right?
I think they took part of it down. Up there, from what I read, I think there's like going to be one metal wall that they keep up, and that's where the windmill's supposed to go.
Mm. Okay.
And so obviously the windmill is going to be part of Hilltop, I would think.
They probably took down the one that had the guard tower and everything that burned.
So are they not going to be living at Alexandria anymore?
I think they went home, right?
I mean,
did they?
I think they'll rebuild.
I think they will, too.
Because they only showed Gabriel.
Gabriel was
there,
at the
right?
church,
he
right?
He was at the church that was back
there. Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I mean, I thought they were going to be... I mean, they're going to have to use the town still, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're under contract for the town for at least another 2 years, maybe 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So
have you been down there?
No.
Cash?
No.
Oh, you need to go. It's awesome.
It's actually pretty. It's
a trip.
It's right in downtown. And when you go up, if anybody wants to go down to Sonoy, right in the retail center of the town, which there's nothing else to the town. It's just like a bunch of little shops.
It's like one street.
You're at the top of the hill, you can look down into Alexandria.
Oh, nice.
It's a walled-in community right there.
Wow.
And the town itself was Woodbury.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was Woodbury. And it's also neat because you just walk around a corner and you go, oh, I remember this. This was in that scene. Or like the railroad tracks
really cool.
from several of the episodes and stuff like that. Yeah, you'll see those things
really
in there.
Cool.
It is pretty cool. And you can go to Nick and Norman's. Yay! Get a burger.
Nick and Norman's is really good.
Oh, yeah.
And there's pictures of Norman Reedus all over the place. So you can, like, salivate while you're eating your food.
That's what Cash was
can
worried
do
about.
A
yes.
Good burger.
I know.
It was a good burger.
Yeah, not Norman Reedus.
No. It was a good burger, though.
So, and the viewership is out, right?
Yes, I have that.
Are we talking about ratings?
Yeah, ratings.
Yeah.
There we go.
So this, the season 8 finale did a 7.92 million viewers and averaged for the season 7.82 million viewers.
That's not good, is it?
No,
it's down 31% from last season's 11.35.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Which was down 14% from the prior season 6.
Wow.
Down 9% from season 5.
That's a show that's jumped the shark, folks.
So season 5 was the last season that grew over season 4 at +9, and then the downward trend for season 6, 7, and 8 were -9, as stated, -14, and now -31.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the writers know they need to turn it around.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and I hope, you know, I'm the optimist. I hope that with season 9 and the changing of the world, we do get some more interesting stories, because there's a lot Kirkman has written that deserves to be told and seen.
Well, yeah. We have a changing of the guard, too, because we have a new showrunner. Angela Kang is coming in. Yeah. And she's supposed to be making it season 9 more like season 4 and 5.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be more like old school Walking Dead, with that homey feel and building up the characters and fleshing out their storylines and interactions with each other. So
what was going on in 4 and 5? I'm trying to remember.
Those were prison years.
Season 4 was when the governor got with Tara and her crew, and they attacked the prison.
Right, okay.
Chopped off Herschel's head.
Yep, I got it now. Yep.
And then ended with they're going to find out that they fucked with the wrong people.
Yeah, and season 5 was when Beth died.
Yeah.
In the hospital.
Carol saved them.
Yeah.
From Terminus was the first part of season 5.
That was season 6, wasn't it?
Terminus? No. I think it was season 5.
So the hospital was season 6?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then at the end of that season is when they introduced Negan. And they had the wolves. Right. They had the wolves in the first part of that season.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another wasted opportunity.
The wolves.
Yeah. I feel like they could have done more with the wolves.
Well, they're moving into Alexandria. What season was that?
That was with 6. The wolves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was with the wolves. Okay.
Yeah.
When that was a great scene, though. That was when Carol was sitting there washing dishes or something like that. Making another casserole.
Oh, and she had her little cute little sweater on.
And uh-huh. Yeah, and all of a sudden that dude, that woman that went out to have a cigarette.
Went down.
Yeah, got taken out.
That was wicked. Scene. That was wicked.
That was pretty good.
But, you know, I saw that this episode was higher rated than the previous episode.
Yeah.
Went up by like 18% or something.
You're talking about the previous episode from this season?
Yeah. So,
well, but that's not saying much.
Well, 18%? I think it is. People are excited to see what happens.
It's a finale. It should.
People are excited to see what's going on with it.
I think that's a lot of people giving it a last chance.
Yeah. So it came back in episode 10 from the mid-season. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, episode 10. So
yeah.
It kind of dipped. Episode 10 had a 6.82 million total viewers, and then it dipped down to 6.3 by episode 14, but grew to 6.67 million viewers, and then now 7.9.
Didn't they have 17
at the
mid-season
finale?
17 million back in season 5 or something.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Mid-season finale.
The mid-season finale was a 8.28. Mm-hmm. The season premiere was 11.44.
Yeah. So, yeah, and there weren't a lot of people that were watching it through all that.
Yeah, I think this also... also, you know, these ratings are in a vacuum. They're a snapshot.
Right.
And we know the show's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And we are such a binge culture now that people know that if they can get to Wednesday, they'll avoid Walking Dead spoilers. And they just are content to binge it when it's all released together, because that's how they like to view it. So there's still a substantial number of people out there still watching, I believe.
Do these numbers take into account any of the people that are streaming it?
No.
This is
just
same day.
Yeah, these are live same day ratings. Okay. So we don't even have that much DVR added to it. We can look in a couple of weeks to see what those are. Now all the prior numbers should be updated with DVR numbers and stuff. Okay. But they still don't take into account, these numbers I have don't take into account
streaming services and stuff like that.
Streaming services and stuff like that, exactly. And these are Nielsen Media Research numbers, just to give them credit.
Yes, yes.
But they still were the highest rated show for the night. And this was the night that Comey was interviewed on ABC and the Country Music Awards.
Country Music? Oh, yeah, that's a big...
James Comey.
Yeah, that's a big draw, the Country Music Awards.
Well, it is for a lot of people.
What? I'm not being sarcastic. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's a big say it.
It's live. It's an award show. It draws. It still draws viewers, but it didn't draw more than 7.92.
I was actually waiting to go to see it in theater or stay home for the Country Music Awards.
You could DVR that.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Oh, Lord.
Still haven't figured that shit out yet.
Yeah. But they were, from what I read also, is that the season 8 as a whole was the same, had the same amount of decline as when you compare it to season 7. Mm. Did you look at that at all?
No. Yo, we talked about it. From these calculations on season averages, there's a 3-year trend of declines. Season 6 declined 9% from season 5. Season 7 declined 14%. Mm-hmm. From season 6, and now season 8 has declined 31%.
Yeah, that's a much steeper decline.
So it's double.
Yeah.
It's double.
So I think a lot of people were excited to see this Morgan storyline and how it crossovered to Fear. Yeah, and that's why a lot of people came back.
Do you have any numbers on Fear with how they did on the first night?
No, I didn't pull those yet.
I have numbers on that.
I wanted to make sure I stayed on topic.
But I do want to say before you go into that, I feel like just from the social media contact that I've had, there were a lot of people that were excited about Fear coming back, and there were a lot of people that were like, that we've actually been in contact with in the past that have been watching The Walking Dead. They have like Walking Dead in their taglines, whatever. And they didn't watch this season. Wow. But they're excited about Fear coming back.
Right.
Which is very surprising to me. I mean, I actually don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Most of the people I know that were big fans of the show did not watch the season.
Ask those people what they're watching now. I'd be curious.
Yeah, that's true.
TV that it's very easy to fill a void.
Absolutely.
There's no lack of
with the stuff that Netflix is doing and so forth.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Netflix,
goodness.
Hulu, even, Amazon. Yep. Yeah.
So much media.
And then later on this year and next year, Apple's supposed to have their originals, too. Yeah. So there's going to be a glut. There is no dearth of TV to watch. Yep. So I'd be curious what they switch to.
It's actually hard to keep up with things that you liked.
Yeah, it is.
You know, like when the next season comes out.
Might I recommend a website called Trakt.
Okay.
TRAKT.TV.
Okay.
And they have an annual fee if you want to all the bells and whistles. I don't. I just use the free model. But it allows me to create a watch list.
Really?
And check off episodes as I watch them. And let me know when I log into this site when the next episode is going to air.
Wow.
It'll let me know when the show comes back on
air.
That's
total nerddom.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Trakt. TRAKT TV.
See, I'm just looking for like the Clockwork Orange thing where they just pry your eyes open and just like constantly watching it nonstop.
And not TV, not only TV, movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's good because I have a lot of movies I want to see and I don't know when
you
they
can't,
come
you're like, damn it, I can't remember. Yeah.
I do know Westworld just came out.
Mm-hmm. Is it out yet, or is it? I think it's out next
Sunday.
Weekend, isn't it? Yeah,
it's Sunday.
Is it next Sunday? Okay, yep. The premiere. I guess the big party was last night.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm kind of psyched to see that.
Absolutely.
But Fear the Walking Dead had 4.1 million viewers, compared to the finale for The Walking Dead, which was 7.9.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that was
on the same night,
33% increase compared to the season 3 premiere.
Hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah, so that's a huge increase.
Yeah. So a lot of people are jumping ship and going to Fear,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. And I bet you'll see even more now that Morgan's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yep. Well, we'll talk more about that on our next podcast.
One little point that I also want to point out is that the flashback scene with Rick and Carl was filmed on Herschel's farm, in case anybody wants to know that.
Oh, that's nice.
That was really cool.
Nice trivia.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. One little bit of news that I should mention is that they still have not signed Lauren Cohen's contract for next year.
Yes, I mentioned that earlier. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yes, so they are still in negotiations, and she is signed for that pilot, Whiskey Cavalier. Hmm. Like, she's officially signed for it.
Well, the last scene of the episode pretty much shows that they're not going to lose her, I don't think.
Right. They committed to the character, so they're going to sign her.
That's pretty big.
We have had recasts in the past.
Scott Gimple actually said he will not recast her.
Oh, he did? Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
No.
Yeah. But isn't he going over to Fear now?
He's the guru of all of it.
Yeah.
I know, I'm kidding.
He has say in all of it. So who knows what could happen with her maybe in the middle of next season, because they start filming in 2 weeks down in Sonoy. So
better hurry up on that shit. She's going to get that big league contract.
That's right. Play max contract.
Well, at this point,
play another season.
You know, Danai's got Black Panther, and she's got a plague that she's producing in London, and then she's got another movie coming out too, I think. Well, she's got another Black Panther movie.
Avengers.
Avengers.
Infinity War.
And then I would think that Norman Reedus and Andrew Lincoln would have some things.
Well, hopefully Norman's still going to have his motorcycle show, because I do enjoy the hell out of that.
Yeah. I think it's coming back for another season.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But my point is, you would think they're getting to the point where it's been 9 years now. Maybe it's time.
It's got to do the ride hat, by the way, looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys would like to write to us about anything we've talked about tonight or what you expect for next season, you can reach us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at fearmepodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast. And you can download our episodes from your favorite podcasting site. Thanks for listening. And thanks for Cash coming over.
Yes.
Very welcome.
Thanks, Cash.
Welcome,
thanks for the pickup.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.